Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Frida, I don't know. I was ready to back you up. We're ready. We're ready. Me and Tony were ready. He said, what are we doing? I said, we're going to go with it. We're ready to play. So I was going to just talk to y'all for about 5 minutes, and then I decided I'm going to let Pam go ahead and do the message. She wrote it anyway, so she knows it better than I do. Do have a quick announcement that next Saturday at 8 a.m., we're having a men's meeting in the basement, a men's breakfast and a prayer meeting. Many of the men are out today. They're on an annual fishing trip. It's a trip I've been on many years. I couldn't go this year. But I want to say something while several of the men are out. I'm really proud of the men of this church. All of them, the ones that are here. Alan, you're amazing. I mean, we got Tony, we got little Tony, we got Willie, just everyone that's here. I appreciate the integrity of the men of this church. And I wanted to tell you something about those fishing trips. It's what it should be. It's centered around God. Amen. The guys are talking about the Lord. They're having Bible studies. It's so refreshing to be with 8 or 9 guys and no one's swearing. No one's telling dirty jokes. No one's getting drunk. People are talking about the Lord. And to the wives of the church, at least in front of the other men, there's nothing except support for their wives. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that all of you and what you do for families. You know, every week I ask God to put something fresh and new on my heart. And I want to talk about, just for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to give the rest of it to Pam. I wanted to talk about hope. I was talking to my mom this week, and she said something that I think we've all known for a long time, which is hope is everything. When you don't have hope, you have nothing. And you can go through hard times if you have hope, isn't that right? Because if you know that tomorrow will bring a better day, you can go through those hard times. What I like about Christianity and about the path that we've chosen is that we have hope. That's what the good news is. It gives you hope. And we keep missing the big picture, but that's because we're human. I'm worried about tomorrow and the day after. But there's an eternal picture that we are eternal beings. And I want to say something to you. Your life, because I wish I had some of Pastor Pam's gifts. She seemed to have the gift of counseling, the gift to give such good advice. She just has a Solomon gift that I don't have. And, you know, I wish I had that, but everyone has different gifts. You know, that even though, you know, I was going to say, the thing I enjoy doing most is what we just did, Willie. I mean, preaching is fine, but to be in the middle of worship, and I had so much fun. I just love it. It's just so much. It's so enjoyable. So everyone's got a gift, that something you love to do, and sometimes our gifts are things we don't love to do. So I know that sometimes the things God calls us to do, He asks you to do difficult things, but He promises to go with you. But your life is not meant to be lived by yourself. It's meant to be lived with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus as a friend. You're not meant to face life alone. So even though I don't have all that wisdom that I wish I had to give counseling, other than I just refer to Brother Gill's counseling, what am I going to do? We're going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our understanding. When we don't know what to do, we can still know to do that. We can still trust in the Lord. We are not like those without hope. Think of the world. They have no hope when they die. They don't think there's heaven. They don't think there's hell. They just, what's the point of life? But we are those that have hope. I was thinking about death. And, okay, so when the Bible talks about people's heart, it talks about a hard heart. Is it talking about the physical heart? Yes and no. You know, your physical heart can get hard, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. But the Bible divides your heart, your spirit, your soul, and your mind. You are an eternal being, and all three of those work together. Yes, you can divide them and talk about what's the difference, but you are eternal. Your spirit is eternal. Now, your mind is not renewed. That's where all the doubt comes from. That's where the fear comes in our life. It is in our mind. But when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, Jesus said something interesting. He said, she's not dead, she's asleep. Isn't that interesting? Now, everyone here knows at least 10 people that throughout your life, they've told you, yeah, I was clinically dead. I was dead, and then I was raised up. But even though I have so many people that tell me that, yeah, I was in an accident, and they said I was dead. And I don't actually think I know 10 people that were raised from the dead. I think I know 10 people whose heart was restarted by medical personnel. Lazarus was raised from the dead. My friend Kevin, he was raised by paddles. But he thinks he died, and now I'm alive. But when you actually die, that's kind of what happens. You wake up immediately. And you don't even go, you're not like Lazarus where it's gone for 3 days. You fall asleep and you wake up. The difference is when someone that has a heart attack gets brought back, they're still in the same broken body. But you are going to keep your body. We are not like those without hope. We are eternal beings, and one day we're just going to wake up. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage those without hope. That when the devil tells you your situation is without hope, that's a lie. You have the word of God. Jesus gives us hope. But I also recognize no man is an island. It is possible. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn this over to Pam. But it is possible to live your life apart from God, and it is not meant to do that. So I want to do one thing before I pass this to Pam. I want us to invite God into your life, into your problems. To say, God, I'm inviting you in. Because there's some of our actions, we've pushed them away sometimes. But now we invite him in. And when we invite in God, we also get to throw out the trash. So let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for each individual life. Lord, we're going to pray selfishly for ourselves today. For every person, that the things that they're facing, you know the barriers, you know the burdens, you know the worry and the fear that the enemy tries to bring. We are here to declare that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You are our hope for tomorrow. You are our hope that in the past that you were resurrected. You are our hope that in the past you have forgiven our past sins. You are the God of the now. You are the God of today. Lord, make your home within us. Lord, we invite you into this place, even if it's a mess, even if my heart and life and my mind and my body are a mess. Holy Spirit, shine in me. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to be to the temple of God. Lord, help me in my daily life. Lord, help me with hope. Help me to have compassion. Lord, give me wisdom to offer others. And if I can't have wisdom, at least give me kindness, Lord. Give me kindness and compassion. Give me a burden for my fellow brothers and sisters. Lord, protect my family. Protect the families of everyone here. Protect the husbands. Protect the wives. Protect the children. Protect the home. Father, give us hope. Father, we love you. Walk with us every day in the cool of the evening. We trust you. You are our shepherd. You are our king. You are our everything. God, we love you. Satan, we evict you. God, thank you for just being our friend and our savior. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Welcome into the house of the Lord again. You're in the right place for the right reason. God is here. His presence is here. It's been here since the beginning. Pastor Ken and I want to thank all of you who are members of our congregation who support this church. You're keeping the lights on and the doors open and the word of God going forth. We're also beginning to do some things for migrants in our city. And as I said before, the question is not should they be here? Why are they here? The question is they are here. And they have become our guest in this city. And until further notice, we're going to help whenever we can and do what we can. So very interesting. Also, I want to, on a personal note, you know of the trouble in Israel. I actually have family members who are near Gaza and who have requested prayer. My cousin, her husband, her son, they are in near Gaza. The bombs are flying. They are actually taking hostages over there. And she called last night and said, we need personal prayer. So I motivated some people that are going to be praying, and we have the peace of God. We believe that every family member is coming home. So this morning, let's just get our hearts in a mode. And I want to share with you the title of the message first is called, We All Fall Down. We all fall down. I did not say some of us may fall down is the title. It's not. It's we all fall down. And I want to begin with Psalm 37:24 that says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. I want to say that so many of us, if you're in church this morning, you've probably been a believer for quite a while. You believe in Jesus. You love Jesus. And it would seem that maybe we should be on fire by now. We should not be falling down. It may seem that we should be have this down now. We should be super Christians, do everything right, dot our I's and cross our T's, and walk in the crosswalk and stop on red and go on green, but that's not the way it is. We all fall down. And I want to say something that will shock you, probably, maybe not, that believers and non-believers actually struggle with some of the very same things, some of the same temptations. Am I wrong or am I right?